This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Let's hit it. Give me a vacation.
Vacation.
Give me a wave.
Surfing.
Give me a city tour.
The trolley.
Give me animals.
The zoo.
Give me some sea life. Give me museums.
Balboa Park.
Give me a woo.
Roller coaster.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your family vacation at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. Is getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine. And I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hello and welcome to Savor, a production of iHeartRadio. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And today we have an episode for you about sunflowers and their seeds and oil.
Yes. Was there any particular inspiration for this topic, Lauren?
It was in our ideas sheet. I don't know how long it's been. Specifically, we had sunflower oil in there. Maybe it was a listener suggestion at some point.
I suggested sunflower oil a while back, actually.
Okay.
That might have been an Annie suggestion.
Well, I mean, you also technically listen to the show?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I do.
Mm-hmm. Well, any reason why you suggested it?
Yes. Yes, actually. My mom and I, a few years back, she took me to a sunflower farm. And it was so, so lovely. And she loves sunflowers.
Uh-huh.
And they were just so pretty. And we bought chapstick and sunflower oil and sunflower seeds. And I actually hadn't heard about sunflower oil. I didn't know that was a thing. We took one of the cutest pictures together I think we've ever taken.
Aww.
With all these sunflowers in the background. It was just such a lovely day. And I was like, ooh, we should talk about that. And I do love a good sunflower seed. My older brother, that used to be like a sign he'd been around, was a bag of sunflower seeds.
I growing up, my grandparents in Ohio, my mom's parents, had a few sunflowers in their little garden out back. And so I always remember, right, having some of the blooms from, they were the type that has like one large head at the top and then maybe a few smaller ones. And so we would have the smaller ones as blooms around the house. And as the seeds would come in, we would eat the seeds. Oh, so good. Mm-hmm. Also, I feel like it should be obvious, as I am, as I've said before, a goth of a certain age. I was really into the X-Files when it came out. I was in like late elementary, early middle school. And Fox Mulder, one of the main characters, eats sunflower seeds like kind of continually for a few seasons there. Like, it's a very frequent snack for Mulder.
So, I used to I can't believe I forgot that, because I loved The X-Files too, although I was forbidden from watching it for a few years. So maybe I happened to miss the sunflower seed time.
Yeah. Yeah. So I definitely went through like a Mulder sympathetic related sunflower seed eating period of my life.
I love that.
Apparently for the show, I didn't know this off the top of my head, but I found it while I was doing reading. The bags that he was eating from were just bags of David brand sunflower seeds, but they had like put a sticker over the actual brand name. And the sticker read Spitz, S-P-I-T-Z. But otherwise it was just a David's bag. So, yeah.
That's funny. I wonder if that has anything to do with the whole baseball thing, which I didn't know about, but chewing sunflower seeds for baseball and like spitting them out. I don't know. Mysteries.
I mean, spitting in a sunflower seed shell is definitely a thing that some humans do.
It is. And yeah, I guess a final culture note before I'm sure we'll have others throughout. But I have had that Post Malone song, Sunflower, in my head since we started doing this one.
I'm not really, I have no idea what that is. You've
seen Into the Spider-Verse, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's in there twice, so it's kind of like a bookend, but it's a popular song he's listening to when he's like drawing.
Oh, cute. All right. Yeah.
Yeah. Woo. Well, I guess this brings us to our question.
Sure.
Sunflowers. What are they?
Well, sunflowers are beautiful, bright flowers that happen to produce hundreds or even thousands of tiny fruits, which we ignore, and eat the single seeds inside of those fruits. Sunflowers are an art and a science. They are pretty much the greasiest flower out there, but in like the best way possible. They're like a slow blooming snack machine.
Oh, that's lovely. And they are beautiful.
They are.
So pretty.
Heck, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Botanical name, Helianthus annus, or annus. Sunflowers are an annual plant that grows tall but remains relatively herbaceous, that is, soft and not woody. They commonly reach 6 to 12 feet in height, or about 2 to 4 meters, with a sturdy central stem putting off these broad, dark green leaves and flowering heads, sometimes multiple flowering heads, or sometimes just one at the very top. And those heads will grow into these big discs, like sort of platter shaped, about 4 to 20 inches in diameter. That's about 10 to 50 centimeters, with a ring of these colorful petals around the outer rim of the platter in hues of bright yellow to gold to reddish. And then on the inside, making up the dish of the platter, hundreds or, yes, thousands of these tiny florets that can each develop into a single dry, husky fruit that each contains a single seed. And these fruits are, yes, what we call sunflower seeds.
Confusing.
Yes. But okay. those seeds grow in spiral patterns out from the center of the flower head. And most commonly, if you count the spiraling rows of seeds, each row will contain a number of seeds from the Fibonacci sequence, in which each number is the sum of the previous two. So 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, 21, etc. Yeah. Seeds in the center will still be developing while the ones towards the outer edges mature. And the husks of those fruits or seeds, can come in colors from white to brown to black when they're mature. They're often dark with white or cream colored stripes. They're oblong, slightly flattened ovals that are pointed at one end, and those inner seeds are cream colored and about the same shape. The seeds are consumed by themselves as a snack, sold either hulled or still in their shells, usually roasted, seasoned either just with salt or with any number of flavorings, sweet or savory. I mean, you know, all that like dill pickle and bacon ranch and whatever the flavorings of the day are. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To eat them in their shells, right, people generally crack the shells with their teeth, like put the whole thing in their mouth and crack the shell open with their teeth and then spit the shell out.
Mm-hmm.
The seeds can also be used as an ingredient in baked goods or like a sprinkling on top of fresh salads, maybe in a pilaf or granola or a trail mix or a candy, anything where you might want a bit of crunch and then kind of like nutty, buttery flavor. Because, yeah, they can have a little bit of a crunch to them, but they're sort of creamy and sweet. Oh, so nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
they can also be processed into a nut butter to be used as a spread or an ingredient in savory or sweet dishes. And they are a fairly oily type of seed, about 20% protein and 40% oil, though it can go up or down depending on the varietal being grown. The oil from the seeds is popular in cooking and baking because it's pretty shelf stable. It doesn't need to be hydrogenated in order to get it to keep for any length of time. And hydrogenating oils tends to make them less healthy, so that's cool. The oil also withstands fairly high temperatures. It's got a high smoke point. And it's also used in the making and manufacture of vegan alternatives to conventional animal products like margarine or mayo or various nut cheeses and spreads, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
The oil is a little bit expensive to produce, even though the seeds contain a lot of it. And that's because they're also a little bit waxy, which requires more filtration and processing. But nonetheless, the oil is also used in various industries, as biofuels, cosmetics, paints, lubricants, and in drug preparations. And the seed hulls are used as animal feed supplements.
Well, what about the nutrition?
Sunflower seeds are pretty good for you. They're a source of protein and fiber and like those good unsaturated fats, plus a whole spread of vitamins and minerals and other micronutrients. They are calorically dense, so, you know, like watch your portion sizes and eat a vegetable. Hydrate, especially if you've got that bacon ranch flavor or whatever it is.
I did have a good time looking at all the flavors that were available.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, I didn't do a list. I kind of meant to and then didn't get around to it before we started recording.
Yeah, because I don't think I've ever had anything other than, you know, your straight salted, roasted.
Salted, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But of course, we've added bacon flavoring to it.
Why not?
Why not? Well, we do have some numbers for you.
Oh, we do. All right. So I know that I said that thing about the Fibonacci sequence, about the seeds being coming in Fibonacci sequence numbers, but... that was kind of one of those things. It was like, oh, yeah, they grow in Fibonacci sequences. Some researchers did some crowdsourced science. They collected samples of 657 reported sunflowers over the course of 4 years and then published in 2016 this study that found that as many as 1 in 5 sunflowers will grow seeds that are not in the Fibonacci sequence. And some in patterns that are much more complicated.
Ooh.
Right?
That's interesting.
Yeah. Love it.
I do too. I have kind of some dated numbers here, but in 1990, 80% of the sunflower crop's value was due to the oil. And at the time, this oil accounted for around 14% of global seed oil production.
As sunflower seeds are, right, high in oils, you can get more oil from sunflowers than soybeans, acre for acre. Almost 600 pounds of oil per acre from sunflowers.
Dang.
Yeah, I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but that sounds like a lot. and it is a big market, especially after pretty steady growth for the past few decades. As of 2020, the sunflower oil market was worth some $18.5 billion, and it was the fourth most consumed vegetable oil in the world. Yeah, more sunflowers are being grown and more oil is being produced as possible. Numbers do vary, but the estimates for last year, 2021, were that oil production was going to increase 4% to 39 million metric tons. thanks to a bunch of new cultivation efforts around the world. And that exports of that were going to increase 14% to 12.6 million metric tons, thanks to these growing markets in places like the EU, China, India, Iraq, and Turkey.
Wow.
Yeah. As of 2020, Russia and India were the largest producers of sunflower oil, with around 3 million metric tons each. Ukraine is also a major player. Belgium and the Netherlands, meanwhile, were consuming the most per capita, 39 and 26 kilos per person per year, with Russia just behind them.
Dang.
I know, right? Although these numbers are tied to safflower oil as well, so... But yes, lots of it. Meanwhile, a few world records for you. The most heads on a single sunflower plant clocks in at 837.
Woo!
I know.
Woo!
That plant was grown in Michigan. I think the record is from like 2001. I didn't write it down, but that's what my brain is telling me. Meanwhile, the tallest sunflower on record was 9.17 meters. That's 30 feet, 1 inch.
Wow.
That was grown in Germany by a dude who has been leapfrogging a few other people for the tallest sunflower title for the past like couple of decades. He used this multi-tier scaffolding to help support it. The local fire brigade came to help measure it.
It's a whole thing.
Whole thing. Love it.
Yeah. What a thing to decide. You know what? I'm going to be known for this.
Yeah.
I don't care what I've got to do.
And no one is going to take it from me.
Mm-mm. Who do they think they are? I love it. Yes. Well... We've got a lot of interesting history on this one. Some art, science,
all kinds
of things.
We do, and we are going to get into that as soon as we get back from a quick break for a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Since every minute counts when you're a new parent, who wants to waste time washing bottles? Transform this daily chore with the Baby Brezza Bottle Washer Pro, the first machine that automatically washes, sterilizes, and dries bottles, pump parts, and sippy cups at the push of a button. Its 20 spray jets clean everything 100%. Plus, it sterilizes with steam, then dries with germ-free air. Don't waste time on tedious hand washing. Let the Baby Brezza Bottle Washer Pro do it for you. Shop now at babybrezza.com.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Even on the practice field, AT&T in-car Wi-Fi keeps you connected while in proximity of your vehicle. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. See if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Don't let connectivity be a roadblock in your journey. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use when vehicle is in operation, compatible device and vehicle required.
Today's episode is brought to you by Discover Puerto Rico.
We've talked in a bunch of different episodes about facets of Puerto Rican cuisine, like the dish mofongo, made of savory, deep-fried mashed plantains studded with some kind of tasty protein, and the creation of the cool, creamy piña colada. But there is so much more there. I've actually never been. You have a tiny bit of experience, don't you?
Yes. Unfortunately, it was a very tiny bit of experience. I was there for about a day. I'm kicking myself for that now. I remember having delicious rums, delicious drinks, but I want to go back because, yeah, so many episodes we do on here, when we're talking about food from Puerto Rico, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds amazing. We're trying to get a savor team trip
together. Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, we're trying to get a trip to a lot of places, but this is really top of the list.
even putting together this ad read made me hungry. I was like, oh, I want to try those things. Yeah, as we've talked about before, there are influences there from African and Spanish and native Taino foodways. The culinary scene sounds amazing, and we want to go, and I'm hungry. No passport is required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. You can learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
So, yes, we are focusing on the seed. We're going to be talking about the oil, too. It's just so closely intertwined.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's the oil comes from the seeds, so it's difficult to separate out. Yeah.
Yes. So, historians think that sunflowers originated in North America, perhaps specifically in Western North America, but that the sunflowers migrated east along with some of the tribes from that area. As they migrated, they took the sunflowers with them, where they were first domesticated somewhere around 4,000 years ago.
Yeah, it's thought to be the only crop that was domesticated in what's now the United States to have reached global importance.
Wow. Okay. Native Americans selected for sunflowers that grew a large single head and produced edible seeds that were higher in protein, larger, and more resistant to pest. The seeds were used as food, but also in art, medicine, and rituals.
Just for example, sunflowers were used by the Aztecs as offerings to the god of sun and war.
Makes sense. Mm-hmm. For a while, sunflowers were widely cultivated and grown alongside crops like squash. But when maize came onto the scene, that changed. By the time Europeans started showing up, maize had replaced sunflowers as the dominant crop, though sunflowers were still grown. Some records include observations of sunflowers from southern Canada all the way down to Mexico. In the 1500s, the Spanish took sunflower seeds back to Europe with them, where they quickly spread. At first, Europeans, it seems, mainly admired them for their size and beauty.
Yeah, not as a food source quite yet. Yeah, they were like really posh at one point with the Italian Medici dynasty. They garnered a few nicknames, like the marigold or chrysanthemum of Peru. By the mid-1600s, the sunflower even came to replace traditional European flowers in retellings of Greek myths, where prior tellings of these stories about Helios or Apollo, you know, the god of the sun, had used heliotrope, folks started using this new heliosanthos, this flower of Helios, this sunflower, in these tellings, or in artistic works depicting the stories, like in one myth, the gods take pity on this water nymph who has fallen head over heels for Helios and is just pining away, her face always watching him as he flies across the heavens in his chariot, the sun. And they turn her so that she can quit pining, I guess, into a sunflower. And I'm not sure why that makes it better, but that's the myth.
That's one way to go about it.
And the sunflower will, it's a little bit dramatic too, because it's such a large flower. But if you watch a sunflower throughout the day, it will follow the sun across the sky.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah,
pretty cool.
Yeah.
As time passed, Europeans did come to realize the culinary potential of the sunflower as well, and a lot of that has to do with Russia. Because, yes, eventually sunflowers reached Russia, where they transformed the flour into cooking oil. And if you're like me, you're like, huh, well, why did that happen? Why did this sunflower take off in Russia and this oil in particular? Some historians suggest it might have been due to religion, or at least partly so.
Okay.
Yes, because during Lent, the Russian Orthodox Church had a list of forbidden foods, foods that included things like butter and lard. But because the sunflower was a new crop, new to Russia anyway, it wasn't included on the list. And people figured out they could use sunflower oil, causing the crop to really take off. It was kind of a loophole.
My goodness. I am continually startled by what a gigantic impact the Catholic Church in its various forms across Europe had on oil, on the types of fats that were eaten around continents. It's wild to me. Anyway, yeah. I'm sorry. Please continue.
No, I agree. The matter of time, the number of times we bought lint and lint's impact in particular is pretty, like, amazing to me.
Yeah.
But yes, okay, so the high protein content was a plus of all of this, too. People were a fan of that. By the 1800s, both Russia and Ukraine had fields of sunflowers. From accounts I read, like, huge fields. Soviet plant breeders selected for varieties of sunflowers that contained almost 50% oil in their seeds under Stalin's rule. And over time, European grocery shelves started stocking sunflower oil, and the oil and seeds spread across Asia as well.
Meanwhile, European artists were still just enchanted with the flowers. Impressionists like Monet depicted them in the mid to late 1800s. Oscar Wilde wrote about them. This one tour that he did of the United States in 1882 featured sunflowers depicted on the stage backdrop and on hand fans for the audience. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Van Gogh did two series of sunflower paintings. The first from 1887, featuring these dead flowers, and then the second the following year with these vibrant blooms. They appear in paintings by Klimt and Diego Rivera, just all over the place. It's really, it's very interesting. It's a very, I mean, like, they're real pretty, but, like, it's, mm-hmm. you can get really, really, really into the different theories about what they were symbolizing to all of these different artists and how they became such a trope.
Yeah, yeah. And you and I were discussing before we started recording how fun it is when Saver gets to do, like, a little art history.
Yeah, yeah. I was, like, running out of time before the recording. And I was like, oh, I still need to talk about botany. Heck. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Also, just side note, as I think I have also mentioned on the show before, if you ever really want to make me cry, show me the Van Gogh episode of Doctor Who. And that's, I don't know why you want to. That seems mean. But, but oh, heck.
That's a tough one. That's a tough one. I mean, I and some of my friends just enjoy crying sometimes. A good cry can be nice.
It's cathartic. You're right. You're right. Maybe people are just out there looking for catharsis for me. That's
yeah. We'll put the sunflower spin on it. The sunny one. Yes. Meanwhile, plant breeders continued to have success in creating varieties of sunflowers that were more commercially viable, which in turn led to more farmers growing them in the Great Plains region here in the United States after World War II. These farmers could sell the oil and the seeds either as bird seeds. And side note, she's got, like, the binoculars, she's got the book, she's a bird watcher.
Okay, cool, cool.
And she has a pretty decent-sized backyard, but there's all these different types of birdhouses and bird feeders she has. And she says they love – the sunflower seeds are their favorite.
Oh.
Maybe tied with the peanuts, but those were the ones that go down the fastest. And they fight over them. I've seen them out there, like, ooh.
All right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It'd be your nightmare, Lauren. Birds fighting all over the place.
As long as they're fighting over there and not, like, on my face, I'm pretty okay with it.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, but also, yeah, these farmers were able to sell the seeds as a human snack, not just for birds.
Mm-hmm.
However, the production declined in the 80s due to things like price, pest, and disease. Since the 1930s, production has increased by 6 times, though, and the sunflower seed was the third highest source of vegetable oil from 1985 to 86, very specific, after palm and soybean. However, during our more modern era, sunflower oil has typically been eclipsed by corn or soy oil behind olive oil, of course, here in the United States anyway. That's not the case everywhere. But sunflower oil did see a bump in the 1990s thanks to potato chips and the Mediterranean diet. Both those things. People were swapping out trans fats for things like olive oil, leaving companies that use trans fats in their products scrambling for an alternative, including companies like Frito-Lay, who fried their chips in trans fat-heavy, partially hydrogenated soybean oil. That's what they were using at the time. Well, sunflower breeder Jerry Miller told them about the high oil-producing sunflower seeds that the Soviets had created, resulting in an oil that was good for you, in his words, didn't go bad when frying chips, and had no trans fats. Miller recalled, Frito-Lay had a chemist named Manoj Gupta who recognized immediately what it could do for his company, and he said, let's go. Let's do this. And I hope I didn't butcher that name. I couldn't find a pronunciation.
Yes. And in 2003, based on Gupta's work, Frito-Lay switched to sunflower oil for the manufacture of its snacks.
And these days, farmers have entire fields of these new sunflowers in order to meet the demand from potato chip companies, snack companies.
Yeah. Demand for the oil is also tied up in research into another alternative to conventional products that was coming up during the same time, biofuel.
Research with the oil is ongoing. Breeders are attempting to lower the saturated fats in the seeds. And if they succeed, sunflower oil might become the vegetable oil with the lowest levels of saturated fat. And what I've loved about that story was that it was an accidental kind of discovery.
Oh, huh.
Yeah, this sunflower that did this, it was sort of a, people didn't know sunflowers did that. I think it might have been Miller, but it was somebody who worked at the sunflower research station, which I love that that exists. Mm-hmm. He was like, that's so exciting. He goes around and collects sunflowers. He's like, so exciting. There could be something out there that we just don't know yet. And his enthusiasm was very, very infectious.
Oh, cool.
Yes. And the oil isn't the only thing to be more widely adopted because of perceived health benefits. In recent decades, the seeds have been viewed as a healthy snack. And frequently, they pop up in articles about health, some more reputable than others. But a lot of my like early search results were all about the health of sunflower seeds.
Yeah, it's one of those things that especially the ones that are sold in their shells are talked about as a good way to, you know, like get that crunchy snack that you're looking for that also has a good amount of protein and healthier fats, and furthermore that will slow you down a little bit as you're eating, letting your stomach have time to contact your brain and be like, hey, dude, you're getting full. And so therefore leading to less overall consumption or less like accidental consumption.
Yes.
Skipping ahead though to like now-ish, cooking oils in general have seen price increases during the COVID-19 pandemic as supply chain issues have decreased supply. In the case of sunflower oil, like many crops, this is exacerbated by recent climate change issues causing more problems with the supply. But research is going into wild species in the sunflower genus, which contains like over 100 species, including the domesticated sunflower, in the hopes that hybrids could help create sturdier plants. And yeah, I read a couple articles that were really dear about these researchers going out and looking for these wild sunflower types that grow in unexpected, like just right up out of the sand out in the southwestern United States and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh, man, that's so cool.
It is. It is. Well, stepping back a bit, we have some more kind of artsy cultural notes.
Yeah. I wanted to end on like not climate change. The X-Files debuted in 1993. Mulder snacked on sunflower seeds in that first pilot episode. He later discusses having a particular nostalgia for sunflower seeds because when he was growing up, he says that he would wake up in the middle of the night convinced that he was the only person on the planet, that he was totally alone. But then he would hear from the other room his dad snacking on sunflower seeds and be comforted by that human connection.
Aww.
Yeah. He also uses sunflower seeds to temporarily stop a vampire in season 5 in the episode Bad Blood, because in some vampire lore and for these vampires in question, if you spill seeds or coins or something on the ground, then they will compulsively stop and pick them up or count them or whatever the mythology says. And so the kid from Sandlot is this vampire. This might be a spoiler. I'm sorry. And he spills these sunflower seeds everywhere. And Mulder spills the sunflower seeds. And then the kid has to stop and pick them up.
I would be so annoyed. Oh.
Oh, yeah. This kid is mad.
I can see it. I agree. I'd be furious. I'm going to count these sunflower seeds. I have to say that's not as silly as what I thought it was going to be, which is something like, because sun is in the name,
no,
burst into flame.
No.
Okay. Never with the X-Files. Never, never, never. Not silly. And then on kind of the other side, Ai Weiwei debuted his seminal piece of art called Sunflower Seeds in 2009. For the piece, he handcrafted sunflower seeds in porcelain and filled the exhibition hall with them. A bunch of people worked on it, actually. 100 million seeds weighing 150 tons.
Whoa.
And it has been exhibited in 9 countries. Yeah. There's a whole documentary about the making of it. It was intense. It was intense.
Oh, that's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dude. Okay, that's a lot.
It is. Oh, it is. I think some of them have either gotten lost or, like, not all exhibition halls can have the size to display it at its full beauty. So I think the number might have gone down from when he first debuted it, but it's still a lot.
Yeah, 100 million is like a bunch.
Yup. Mm-hmm. Ah. Sunflowers. This has made me think, this isn't a question I get as often anymore, but like, I think the sunflower might be one of my favorite flowers.
Yeah.
I love them. I love them. I'm getting like all wistful just imagining.
Oh yeah. I've never been out to a farm with that many of them, but it sounds really, really, really beautiful. I guess I never think about them as like a flower when I'm thinking about flowers, but
yeah,
they're pretty okay. They're pretty nice.
Yeah. Yeah. They got some fun math going on.
Yeah.
It's lots of cool science, art. We got to go all over the place with this one.
We did. Vampires. Who knew?
Vampires. I know. The only thing is, I've just realized every now and then when I'm doing like all my pun title ideas to send to Lauren, I'm like, she will not get this one, but I have to put it in anyway. I'm not going to get my post full alone.
Oh.
Pun. That's okay.
I'll
make it anyway.
I'll look up the song. It's okay.
Okay. You got to understand my puns, Lauren. It's part of my artistic process.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I know like half of those probably only make sense to me and one other person, so it's okay.
I feel like, or I don't know, I mean, maybe if I'm not getting your original intention, maybe they're vibing for me on a different level. I feel like I'm not blatantly confused by your puns most of the time.
Yeah. That's fair, because some of them I'm like, this is such a deep cut, and probably only me knows it, but I have to make it anyway. I have to get out of my system.
I understand. I see you, and I suspect that anyone who is listening to this show probably sees you as well.
Oh, thank you. Sunflowers for all. That's about what we have to say about sunflowers for now, though.
Yes. But speaking of y'all listeners, we do have some listener mail for you, and we are going to get into that as soon as we get back from one more quick break for a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Since every minute counts when you're a new parent, who wants to waste time washing bottles? Transform this daily chore with the Baby Brezza Bottle Washer Pro, the first machine that automatically washes, sterilizes, and dries bottles, pump parts, and sippy cups at the push of a button. Its 20 spray jets clean everything 100%. Plus, it sterilizes with steam, then dries with germ-free air. Don't waste time on tedious hand washing. Let the Baby Brezza Bottle Washer Pro do it for you.
Shop now at babybrezza.com.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Even on the practice field, AT&T in-car Wi-Fi keeps you connected while in proximity of your vehicle. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. See if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Don't let connectivity be a roadblock in your journey. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use when vehicle is in operation, compatible device and vehicle required.
Today's episode is brought to you by Discover Puerto Rico.
We've talked in a bunch of different episodes about facets of Puerto Rican cuisine, like the dish mofongo, made of savory, deep-fried mashed plantains studded with some kind of tasty protein, and the creation of the cool, creamy piña colada. But there is so much more there. I've actually never been. You have a tiny bit of experience, don't you?
Yes. Unfortunately, it was a very tiny bit of experience. I was there for about a day. I'm kicking myself for that now. I remember having delicious rums, delicious drinks, but I want to go back because, yeah, so many episodes we do on here, when we're talking about food from Puerto Rico, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds amazing. We're trying to get a savor team trip
together. Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, we're trying to get a trip to a lot of places, but this is really top of the list. Even putting together this ad read made me hungry. I was like, oh, I want to try those things. Yeah, as we've talked about before, there are influences there from African and Spanish and native Taino foodways. The culinary scene sounds amazing, and we want to go, and I'm hungry. No passport is required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. You can learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
And we're back with
the Listener Mail.
Yes. All right. Kathleen wrote, "Today, I finally went to the fancy grocery store in the rich neighborhood.
Ooh.
I saw kumquats and was like, yes, Lauren says these are the best and it's been forever since I had one. Don't even remember the taste. Gotta get them. No price tag to be seen, but that's all fine. I'll only get a few. I get to the cash register. 230 grams, a half pound, was almost $10.
Ooh.
Yeah. I finally see the price on the screen. It's $33.90 per kilogram. So I'm half afraid to try them now for fear I like them. Please eat lots of kumquats and other tropical things for those of us in more northern, remote areas. Take care of yourselves. Cheers. P.S. I recommend your podcast to friends all the time, most recently under the description of, it's the listening equivalent of the feeling of a hug. Oh, please never change.
Oh,
that's so sweet. My heart's all warm.
Yes. And don't worry, I don't think we could change if we wanted to.
Nope. Nope.
This is pretty much what you get.
Yep. I still have not seen kumquats, but that is quite steep a price.
Yeah, that's high.
Yeah, I'm looking out, but I've also been in this position where you're like, surely it can't be that bad. And you go to check out, like, oh, no.
Yeah, they are pricey here as well, but goodness, I'm not sure if they're that pricey. Yeah, that's there are a number of things that I'm like, well, this piece of fruit is going to be my treat for the week.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually worth it.
Yeah.
Vicky wrote, love your show and its predecessor and have been meaning to write for ages that in botany, only genera is used as the plural of genus, never genuses, so much so that it sounds really wrong to those of us in the plant realm. I do speak from a British and Australian perspective, so maybe in the U.S. botanical field, genuses is widely used. In typing this, though, it has come up as a spelling error. Anyway, I look forward to your always entertaining dives into foods.
Huh. I have never heard of that word.
Genera?
Yeah.
I've only ever seen the plural of genus written as genera in botanical contexts. I use the word genuses because I always forget, and I, in fact, looked it up before I started reading this listener mail to double check. I always forget how to say genera.
I'm like, is it genre? Is it what are we doing? but when I looked it up, it is not squiggly red underlined as being an incorrect spelling genuses in our American Google Doc over here. and B, when I looked it up on Merriam-Webster, it says that you can pluralize it as genuses.
Mm.
It's like saying it in that way that Merriam-Webster says things when it's like, well, people do this, but...
Yeah. It's kind of like when the French deliberate on whether or not they'll let a word like email into their language.
Well, I guess people are doing it, so we can't stop them.
Yeah, I guess now that you say that, I have seen kind of those old-timey botanical illustrations, and I think I have seen genera in that sense. But either way, interesting note.
Oh yeah. And I mean, and also a good reminder that that we're just podcasters. We do not have science or history backgrounds. We are just curious humans who are out here reporting what we read.
We are very curious indeed.
Yes.
Well, thanks to both of those listeners for writing. If you would like to write to us, you can. Our email is hello@saverpod.com.
We are also on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @SaverPod. And we do hope to hear from you. Saver is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thanks, as always, to our super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard. Thanks to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
Since every minute counts when you're a new parent, who wants to waste time washing bottles? Transform this daily chore with the Baby Brezza Bottle Washer Pro, the first machine that automatically washes, sterilizes, and dries bottles, pump parts, and sippy cups at the push of a button. Its 20 spray jets clean everything 100%. Plus, it sterilizes with steam, then dries with germ-free air. Don't waste time on tedious hand washing. Let the Baby Brezza Bottle Washer Pro do it for you. Shop now at babybrezza.com.